There's a little collaborative called Rio Bravo Post that is making big waves in the film industry. It's been around for a little over 5 years, and in that time, they've had a film make it to Sundance. Today, my guest is a very familiar voice to all of us here at KTEP and mastermind behind this collective, Charles Horak. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Good morning, Marina. Great to see you on Zoom.
Great to see you on Zoom, too. So tell us, because you all have been flying under the radar, but doing really cool things. So will you explain to us kind of how you all came together and what role post-production plays in filmmaking?
Well, like a lot of interesting things, it completely by accident and organically. You know, Rio Bravo
Sounds
Post
right.
is... We kind of had to assign a name to it at some point because work was actually happening down there. But, you know, about 5 years ago, my daughter, Catherine, who you know well, used to work for you, she decided to make her first independent feature mm-hmm. film. And at the time, that summer, I had a very old warehouse that I had acquired that was between tenants. And I thought, you know what, Catherine, why don't you and the crew set up down there and use that as a production facility? Because I didn't want all the gear and actors rehearsing at our house. So it was a very, you know, logical step to let them do that. But as the summer
convenient.
Went on, so it was very convenient, and it kept us all in good stead. And we got through the summer, and just as I was about to go back to trying to get a tenant for the warehouse space, our mutual friend Zach Passero and Lucky McKee were just coming off of a film shoot, a feature film that they had shot in Georgia at the time, starring John Cusack, called Blood Money, and they needed to do the post-production here in El Paso. And so that team said, you know, hey, can we borrow your warehouse? There's some offices down there already that Catherine had just moved out of. And they just kind of slipped in there. I said, sure, you know, for the next few months, use it. I'm still trying to lease the space. But it was during that time that I was watching what was going on, the collaboration that was happening amongst these folks who all use El Paso as their home base and are also kind of under the radar in that they do a lot of national work, but they live here and they have roots here and they've chosen El Paso for their home. And in the case of Zach and Carlos Corral and others, Ryan Martinez and Melissa Offit, you know, this is their hometown. So I started getting the idea that, you know, maybe what the film community, the professional film community needed in El Paso was a collaborative space to spread out, to move their gear out of their, you know, garages often or third bedrooms, and to be adjacent to one another and not siloed mm-hmm. around town. And it just kind of took off from there. We built the first suite about 4 years ago. The first three of them moved in. Then a couple more suites came along. Then Patty and Gilbert Chavarria at Fuzzy Red Panda moved in. So this warehouse is kind of slowly morphed into a collaborative space for filmmakers. And each of these filmmakers has a broad range of talents, but they also specialize and are really good at one or two things. And when you put all of those things together, you basically have the entire team one would need to do a professional post-production process on a feature film or a short film or something that aspires to something that could be theatrical. And so from that point on, it's just kept rolling. Lucky McKee writes and directs, and every year he brings one or two of his films that he's gone away to shoot. He brings those back to post-produce here. Some of their colleagues and friends from around the country have found out about us, and it's become kind of a safe haven for filmmakers to come to from out of town and hole up with their film for a couple of months and just go through this very creative process that most people, it's opaque to who watch movies. You know, I think a lot of people have the idea that once you're done shooting a film, you're basically done or close to done, and you're only about halfway done. You know, films are often really made in post-production. So it's been great. And as you mentioned, one of the latest projects we just ran through there, it's a great little romantic comedy action crime hybrid film that kind of harkens back to the 90s, very Coen-esque film. We did the post-production on that, and it was just selected for Sundance Film Festival, and we'll have a world premiere on January 31st. So we're very excited for that one to go up. And then earlier in the year, in 2020, we had the great documentary, The Pushback, which I'm also a producer on, which tells quite a bit of El Paso's story in the last 2 years politically and dealing with Trump administration policies along the border and racism. That film was to debut last year at South by Southwest. So we've had a pretty good run of successes. And, you know, I feel like the shop is maturing, and I'm mostly there just as a cheerleader for these other collaborators. And it's fascinating. And I get so much out of just watching these come together, you know, just learning about the process.
What's that like for you? Because, I mean, you're the ultimate movie and film fan. And now all of a sudden you get to like be a part of how it's created. Any surprises on your part? Because, I mean, I know you're essentially a scholar, so you already know what is happening, but now you really know what is happening. What's that like for you?
It's been a great sort of fifth age for me. I feel like I'm on yet another career as a producer, because sometimes some of these projects come through and I get so entwined or intrigued with them that I actually come on as a producer and help get things finished. But, you know, I think as someone who's watched films all my life, it's one thing to recognize and understand what makes for an excellent film. It's completely different when you see the process where you have tens of hours of footage arrive and it's not sculpted yet, and its rhythm and its look and its color and its sound are not set, and there's no score. So it has been fascinating to watch these amazingly talented individuals like Zach Passereau, who typically does most of the editing of these films that come through. And, you know, I mentioned Carlos Corral and Ryan Martinez and Melissa Offit. Carlos does sound. Andrew Semetic does sound mixing and sound design. And all of those things add so much to your experience of a film. And frankly, you know, I always understood it was important what happens with an edit and with the score and with the sound mix and the color of a film. But I have a real new appreciation for how most films are made or broken in this post-production process. There is so much sculpting that goes on to the films that we see. And in fact, oftentimes the post-production phase of a film can take longer than the actual production phase of the film when they were actually shooting the film. So a lot happens, a lot of creative decisions are made or broken in that. And it's just been a real treat to watch these folks work together and collaborate with filmmakers, and also get to weigh in occasionally, because we're always doing work in progress screenings amongst ourselves to, you know, kick around ideas and provide notes, and to, you know, work with filmmakers. So I think this notion of we discovered along the way a couple years ago that people were beginning to find us and coming here. And one of the things that was drawing them was not just sort of a budget conscious type of scenario where in El Paso we can undercut some of the services like in an LA or in Atlanta or New York, because El Paso is so much cheaper to live and work in. But they were coming for the technique and the ability of these artists, but they were also coming for the safe haven that's kind of been created. And we discovered that it's actually fairly rare in the industry, at least at the level we're working at, to have a vertically integrated post-production facility where everybody is under one roof. And so if a director is here and say, you know, is the middle of an editing session with Zach Passereau and has this great idea about color, they can just pop out for a few minutes, drop down and talk to Ryan and plant that seed, and then pop back in with Zach. And then maybe 2 hours later, he's got an idea for adjusting, you know, some sound effects or sound design, and he can pop next door and talk to Andrew and get him working on that. So that's typically not the case. A lot of times these components of the post-production process are separated, if not in the city, even between cities. And it's a management issue, frankly. And so, you know, I think of some of the great recording studios that are here that artists seek out that you know of. just because it's a great hideaway to come to El Paso, mm-hmm. to turn off the rest of your life, to sit with your film, the baby that you've, it, in some cases, been working on for years, and just tune everything out of your world and just live with that for a few months and shape it and birth it. So that's kind of the scenario that we've cooked up and fallen into very organically, and it seems to be getting some traction, and we're getting some accolades from some of the films we've helped put out into the world. So very excited.
Well, let's talk about that, because we mentioned Sundance at the beginning, but before you and I started recording, you were explaining to me that it's even harder to get into Sundance this year just because of the changes in the industry. Can you kind of walk us through that? Because, I mean, that is really, really cool that is happening.
It is amazing, and we're still on cloud nine, and we've been holding that secret for about 6 weeks. They just announced just before the holidays the final lineup, and we could finally tell the world. But this film particularly, First Date, has been on a long journey, and props to its makers. There's two young co-writers, directors from Northern California that made this crazy, great little indie film, all with regional talent, and it's a big cast, and it's got some big set pieces, and they did it on an extremely low budget, and it just feels so much bigger than all the pieces they put into it, and it's got such an intricate story. It's a real puzzle, and that was made by Manuel Crosby and Darren Knapp, and produced by a young guy named Brandon Krause. And they came to us, one of these guys knows Lucky from way back, and they just sent us a scene about 18 months ago, and we both looked at it, and we thought, wow, there's something really happening in this little movie, and then they sent us the whole thing, and, you know, we cut it down over an hour in length, and we added, you know, professional sound and sound mix and design and color and visual effects and all the things you need to take a film that is impressive for what went into it from a regional point of view, from an indie, you know, low budget filmmaking point of view, but to take those films and to bump them up in quality to a level that you would expect to see in a theater or displayed on a Blu-ray or streaming on Netflix or something is really a lot of work. And we went through that process with them and submitted, last year, and lo and behold, they got selected for the next category, which is where Sundance puts, they like to select 8, 9, 10 films a year that they want to spotlight what they believe are emerging directors and writers. Since this is their first feature film, it's the perfect launching pad for them. If you're an indie filmmaker, this is a dream come true. You know, Sundance is at the top of the mountain. Literally, mm-hmm. if you were in Park City. But this year, because it's a hybrid festival and virtual, they're doing nothing but drive-ins in L.A. and other cities, as well as streaming. And because of the COVID restrictions and the difference in how they're doing this, they had to cut a lot of the slots from the festival this year. I think they're just down to about 70 films from about 130 films. There's almost half as many film slots this year. So very competitive, and we're just still on cloud nine that this is going to be debuting world premiere January 31st at Sundance. And the beauty of that is we don't all have to go to Park City. Everyone in El Paso is going to be able to log into the Sundance Film Festival site and for 2 weeks be able to watch this film, First Date. And I think it's going to be a real crowd pleaser. You know, it's to me a great entertainment, the kind that we don't often get out of Hollywood anymore, that they stopped making in the early 2000s, these sort of multi-character fun. It's a bit like Game Night, I guess, is if people know the last year's, 2 years ago, Game Night. That was a very fun film, and it has similar elements to that. So I hope people will check it out when it comes out, and I'll certainly be posting about it when we get closer. But Sundance is... You just could not choose a better launching pad.
Just like you said, we can all go to Sundance this year.
Yes.
So with that, we've been talking to Charles Horak about Rio Bravo Post. They've got a film headed to Sundance. We'll be back here in a little bit to talk about where we're going in regards to film and filmmaking industry here on State of the Arts.